Okay. That's one thirty.
We were just talking about trying, looking at contingency plans for the future.
You ready?
All right, I can choke on my lemon drop, so.
All right, at 1:30, we'll get started with the budget work session for the Information Technology Department. And Barb, you want to start off by saying anything? You don't have to.
I was going to congratulate our department on having a huge budget reduction from last year, and then Lucy threw me a little bit of a loop, but it's just going to go up a little bit from what you have, according to the iVoters registration. That's raised a little, but not a lot.
Okay.
We just got a revised number from the state for what they're charging us to use the voters. Sorry to bring that up.
Okay. We'll start with revenue. Pretty easy.
Revenue's been about what it has been. We were all excited. We thought we were going to bring in a little more for the city to do a disaster recovery installation here, and that was driven by Matt Emerson, and after he left, they decided to go a different route.
Okay.
So, and that's that last line that has the zero on it.
Okay. Revenue move to expenditures. At least I'll turn that part over to you. To the beginning, anyway.
Barb, your salary line items are going to look wacky this year because of two things. We've got 100% in the FY17, 100% funding, plus 27 pay periods, plus 2.5% per quarter an hour. We've also going to be split out between bargaining union and non-bargaining union.
Right.
So all your line items for salaries are comparing to current year budget, which is 94% of your salaries, to 100% plus. So
okay.
That's why those all look odd right now. My understanding from what the board work sessions have been, from what they've been saying, is they're going to do 94% again this year. Money will be put in your budget to make sure your salaries are whole at year end.
Okay.
And her budget's a little different because of some of the different. If you'll notice, the first like five lines are actually mental health, case management, direct care type related items. We break those out. So it's a little different when you look at it. There's some to discuss above and then the rest below the salaries.
Okay. We moved some of the, like with the Microsoft licensing, it didn't make a difference if there were changes in the mental health area, so we just moved those down.
What are we still running for CLP?
That $7,000 is for the removal of the Siemens equipment, is my understanding.
Are you referring to something on here or just in general licensing?
There's a $7,000
charge for CLP clearing account, equipment rent, and maintenance.
I didn't put anything in there for rent and maintenance. I put $7,000 in there to remove black box equipment if we had to vacate the building. What we did when Optime took over is we rerouted things to a cabinet on the wall because we can't take CLP yet entirely out of the picture because when the network was originally designed and installed, you know, HSC didn't exist. So everything that exists at HSC routes through CLP. So we just rerouted the major network and put it on the wall, and we had like the Barracuda web filter and everything there. But if that building, if we're no longer occupying it, we'll have to remove, like, the black box equipment, Siemens equipment, reroute all that networking stuff.
And that's $7,000.
So that was just a ballpark guess as to what it would be, based on what we've paid black box so far to help with some things.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, we're ready to get to page 124. I've got a few.
How's your current one?
you know, it makes some funny noises, and I've taken it in a couple times, and they've done the bounce test on it because we thought it was shocks, but apparently it passed the bounce test, so I don't know what's going on.
And take advantage of the other ones that are available.
We have. For longer trips, for a short trip, it just makes sense to drive that. So.
Okay. That's all I had on that.
Data processing supplies, it looks to me like, 2,000 of the 2,750 is in miscellaneous cable supplies. I think, you know, based on history and where we are so far this year, I think we can do better than that. What are your thoughts, Barb?
What do you mean do better?
Well, we've only spent $228 so far this year. We spent $1,800 last year. We spent $389 the year before that.
We might be able to bring this down a little. Last year we had a lot of cables to install for the phones and things. They didn't come with cables, so.
Yeah, but we still got that done for $1,800.
Right.
So I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, I'd like to think that this could be a $2,000 line item.
Well, this is split out between media supplies, which includes thumb drives, CDs, DVDs, and then technical manuals. I do have a little note that we increased that because we plan to roll out Office 2013 and some newer versions of Windows, so we're going to have to supply some more, at least more training and documentation for the users. So that's why I kept that at $2,750.
I think we do that.
You want me to bring that whole thing down to 2,000?
I mean, that's what I would like.
Yeah, I think that's probably reasonable.
Okay. Right below it, talk me through the data processing software. So there's $3,000, as I understand it, in enhancements that allow us to view our work ticket items and do our own passwords and things like that. And then there's $5,000, it looked to me like, to get lesser software than we currently have because it's more user-friendly. And maybe I'm missing on both of those, but I'm just trying to make sure I understand.
Yeah, it's kind of truncated. The $3,000 is for new help desk software. Right now, the software that we have hasn't been upgraded for a long time, and so when you try to pull up a ticket, you may have a ticket with two lines that the user inserted as to the explanation of the problem, but the ticket's like three pages long because you get all the HTML code in there. It's broke. So we've been looking at new software packages, and we found one we really like for $2,800. What I like about this, the user will be able to go in and look at their tickets and see what the progress is on it. Right now, and this was when I first started, I assumed users were getting notifications when you'd make an update to the ticket and everything. And when people would call, I'd say, well, did you get the update? And they're like, no. So the new software will do that. Any works that done on your ticket, any questions that they have, will all be emailed to the user. So that's why I wanted to, this is to replace the current.
Yeah, program. And that makes sense to me. You said it's $2,800 instead of $3,000.
Well, and then there'll be a little bit of maintenance on the first year, but not a lot. This is just to purchase the software itself.
Okay. But just in this line item.
Yes, and that's the average. I mean, we've looked at something $25,000. We looked at something $32,000. The one I really like is $28,000, but I wanted to keep it a little flexibility. Yes.
Yep. Okay. And then the $5,000 is the one that doesn't resonate with me. I need to know more if I'm going to get fired up about it.
Well, right now we use SolarWinds, which is huge and meant more for an enterprise and not, a smaller facility like we are. We do pay $1,700 currently in maintenance on that. We don't use all the bells and whistles that it has, and in fact, it's more confusing than it is good. I want Kyle to have something that he can pull up and be able to look at all of our network resources without stumbling and trying to find out what he really wants to see. So the new software, I've looked at a couple. The one I like is $4,800, so I put $5,000 for potentially new software for that to replace the current software.
Right, okay, but it looks to me like we're talking about paying $5,000 to get a lesser product.
solar winds was very expensive.
Right.
It was huge, and we don't need all that.
Right, but we've already paid for it.
And we're paying $1,700 a year for maintenance on that.
Is there maintenance? Is there maintenance on the one you're looking at?
It's about $460 a year. It's a percentage of what the cost is of the software initially.
Okay.
And that can range from 3 to 10% depending on the product.
If we're saving, what, $1,300 a year
in maintenance?
Maintenance.
3 years.
3 years is paid for.
I mean, so our argument against what we currently have is it's too much. But it seems to me like, okay, it's too much, we just use less, you know. I don't know. I struggle with $5,000 in order to fix something that's not broken, as I see it. Maybe it is broken, but to fix something that's not broken. Now, if you want to make the argument that in 3 years we make our money back by not having the maintenance fees, I'm really willing to listen to that. My problem is that in 3 years, is anything that we have going to be any good anyway? We're going to be talking about something new anyway.
That's when you have to.
Well, I think the software was brought to Story County by a vendor who was really set on selling it, sold a package that we really didn't understand. I mean, we've had this for 10 years. And what I don't like to see is our staff, because it's so complicated and hard to use and takes up so much system resource, they tend not to use it. I want to get them something that they feel comfortable with and that they can use and provide better insight into what's going on in the network.
So this will make our network more efficient, or the monitoring of our network more efficient?
It'll give us more insight and monitoring capability.
Which does what for us?
Then you can be more proactive when something happens, or if you can see that one of our T1s has been highly utilized, maybe we can see what traffic. It may be a virus is using up all the bandwidth. A lot of times you can find viruses and somebody streaming music, whatever, even those are blocked with our web filters, some still get through. The web filter is only as good as the latest update. So it helps pinpoint trouble like that. It might find a switch that's going bad, things like that. It just helps you with your troubleshooting and being proactive in networking issues.
So from a priority point of view, how much of a priority is this as far as efficiency of staff and being able to troubleshoot and so forth? As you look at this in relationship to others?
Well, in relationship to the two softwares here, I wouldn't say it's a priority over the help desk software, because the help desk software would help everybody. This would just help us within our department become more efficient.
Yeah, I'm sold on the help desk software. I'm good with the $3,000. I'm really, really struggling with the $5,000. You guys decide if you want it in there or not. I just in this line, I'd be $3,000 and we not mess with this year.
But if we get a year down the road, you know, it's a few thousand dollars that can be used someplace else and to need arises. I look at it more or less from the urgency of the need and,
sure,
you know, than anything. But
yeah, I would say let's let that one kind of simmer for right now.
Okay.
Okay, so $3,000. Then unless you guys got something else, I drop down to education and training. Which, you know, every year it seems like we got a line item that pops out of everybody's budget, right? Communication, we've done it before. We've done it in postage. This year, the award winner seems to be education and training. That's quite a bump. A couple things in that, though. I'd like to learn more about the HR classroom. Employee training, 3 classes at $7.50 per user. I'm not at $6,800 total. I'm not opposed to something like this. I just don't know that it belongs in your budget, even though it's an IT kind of related class. Unless I think if we're going to do something like this, it will long for in the HR budget. If that's one of the trainings we're going to do, that's great with me. But I don't think that $6,800 belongs in there. And then even with the $6,800 out, it still looks like we're taking quite a bump in education and training over last year and over our 3-year average.
Last year we had one less employee. I tried to budget for one class per employee, so that would make up some of the difference. And then the $6,800 was the rest of it. And Alyssa and I talked about this. We didn't know what budget to put the HR classroom under because the training can be anything we want it to be. And we guesstimated at 3 classes per user per year. I mean that. And so they threw me back a quote based on that, based on the users times how many classes you wanted to do. So we're flexible on that.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not opposed to 60. I don't think 68. If it's HR, then let's put it in HR.
It's a mandate, like countywide training, it's harassment training, it's yeah. Everything. And it's like the software.
Right.
So that's why we put it, it's not. You know, we can put it wherever you want.
Okay.
It kind of logs everything for us.
Yeah, like I say, I'm not opposed to it. I was opposed to it in this line item. I've got this one in my mind as we've spent $6,600 so far this year, which is 44% of budget. I'm thinking that we just extend the $15,200 across and hold the line on education and training. Which I will point out is up from $13,000 the year before, and then actual expenditures of less than $8,000 the year before that, and right just over $6,000 the year before that.
And we've had a few new faces.
We have,
and
it's hard when the classes are offered. It's not always convenient for us, and it's hard to get my staff to be able to take a week off. I try to do the onesie twosies when it's convenient, but for most of the classes are based on a week's training, and that's tough.
Absolutely, and I think that feeds right into my point. I think it's tough, and that's why I mean, there's a reason that you've only been able to spend $6,600 of the $15,200 that we've got budgeted this year. So it's tough too. We budget to close to what we think it's actually going to be, and I think $15,200, especially taking the $6,800 out of the $24,000, I think $15,200 is closer to actual.
Well, I struggle with this just because, you know, technology increases and I don't want us to become stale. I want us to take advantage of the new things. But on the other hand, it's kind of a rock in a hard place. But on the other hand, it's hard to get people to go to these because they're busy and they don't want to be away from the office. So I think we can keep it at $15,200. And if something else comes up later in the spring that'll take us over that, I'll come back for to the board and state my case on that.
I think that's perfect.
Processing.
Yeah, so I mean, we talk about this every year. Are we really, so at one point we talked about we were going to change out all computers, what, every 5 years or
yes.
Laptops every 5 years? And it feels like last year we decided, yeah, we were kind of taking a moratorium on that, or we were going to weed it down a little bit and try to reintegrate maybe some of the CLP equipment. It feels like we had that conversation a year ago.
Yes, we did, and we were able to use 17 of the CLP computers. And so we did have some hardware left over last year in the line item. I did take it down this year because our user count is lower. Are we skipping to the hardware and not going over the software?
Do you have a red maintenance?
Yeah.
doing over so far?
I'm at 632.52. Data processing, service, and equipment.
Did you skip contract rate?
I did. Somebody else wants to.
So you skip page 20 or 127?
I don't think our page is
dry. Yeah, we should. Yeah, we're on 129. So 127 is where the equipment rent maintenance starts. I'm just
right.
saying, can you skip that?
Take me through. Since we're sitting there on 127, so the numbers look okay to me there. Is there anything on there that you tend to question in your mind, whether it needs to be there?
You know, some of the IBM stuff is probably, it's needed, but it will probably go away. Just because of the only thing we use on there is our financials. And some of the views that people are requesting, they don't use them as much as they've asked us to. So we're monitoring that and seeing if maybe we can't pare down some of the numbers on the clients. As far as everything else, we keep this pretty lean. We don't license anything that we don't need. The help desk software maintenance is $2,300. We probably won't be paying that this year, so that'll go away.
I have a question on page 128. There's a treasury web interface for $1,800. And then on, it seems to me like it's in there twice. I want to be clear. Treasure, I know. And then on the top of page 129, there's Tyler Treasurer's website for $1,610. Explain to me what those are and why we have both of them. Because they look to be the same.
They aren't the same. The treasurer's on page 128, the treasurer's web interface, this is what we pay to GovTech so that they can take payments on the treasurer's website. And then on page 129, that goes to Tyler, the treasurer's website, so that's what they offer to process, send the payments to the GovTech. I know, it seems like... We can't one do
not
it
part of the Tyler package. You have to pay for it.
Exactly. They don't offer that. So in order to process payments and have them go to the bank, then we need the GovTech. And the Tyler piece also gives them the ability to do that. Otherwise, it doesn't matter what you do. You couldn't do it through. It wouldn't interact with Tyler. If people were making payments, it wouldn't go toward their real estate taxes or their motor vehicles. So. Yeah, it seems like we're paying a little too much for that, but that's how it was designed. Any more questions on 127?
So I heard you say that we could take 2,300 out.
Yeah, I think so.
But what's the new amount Lucy just gave you? She had 9.6 and we're going to have
9.7. Yeah, down under the solutions.
Well,
or the voter registration.
She had 9,520, and we were getting bills 10,110 and 21. 10,910.
110,
21 cents.
10,000.
So about
$600. Okay, so we take $1,600 out of this account.
And then the pro law went up a little bit from last year. Everything else, I totally, at the bottom of page 128, I think soft code's going to be going up quite a bit also. That was recently purchased by Tyler Technology, and right off the bat, they did raise it $400. So we may see something more in the years to come, just kind of an FYI on that.
I thought the contract labor made sense to me, what you spelled out there. I want you to try to get by, because I know there's a lot of swag in this. You know, we're counting, that's $300 and that's $700. There's some swag built in there. I'd like to set data processing equipment at $150,000 instead of $166,000.
talking about all the laptops that we are sending down. Can any of those be used or not?
We do have some, if you'll look later in the, there are some requests for laptops from the sheriffs. We're going to repurpose those to there. So the, like, under that last line, the 8 laptops for the 5-year rotation, we can probably take that out. We'll probably use the ones from the auditors for those.
68.
Yes.
Yeah, so what I'm suggesting is, and we can sure do this, if we want to go through this, I recognize that we're going to spend money in technology. We just are. But I also recognize that there is some wiggle room in here, not only in what we get, but exactly how much what we get is going to cost us. And that's why I'm suggesting instead of 166, we make it 150. And Barb, you're the director of IT. You figure out what is a need and what is a want. And if it's a want, we're not doing it. If it's a need, let's get it. And I think 150 is enough to do that.
Barb, how old are those laptops?
The ones we're going to repurpose are between 2 and 3 years old. Some of the other ones, yeah, some of the other ones.
HPs are in the process of powerless.
Yeah, they're pretty old, so we may just donate those. They've been obsoleted, and that's a good question. Once they've been obsoleted, we don't bring them back into our inventory. Like if we give one to the county attorney to use as spare. Does that get an asset tag if it's been obsoleted?
Should have an asset tag on it already.
Okay. So just follow whatever the status is on that asset tag.
You're going to dispose it
to okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's part of the beginning because, you know, you have a recycling system.
Sure. Yeah, we do.
Well, we don't.
So then that just takes us down to 636.
What's older than the desk?
It's probably older than he is. The drawers don't shut. It's metal. The legs wobbly. He has to put some old data backup cartridges under it to make the desk level, and it's time to replace it.
We had a couple of standing workstations.
I thought we would try those. We sit a lot. Some of our desks, we can't use them, but I thought if we got two, I could have everybody try them so that we're not getting one for everybody. Some people might not like it. They might get it and decide they don't want it. They don't want to spend something, your money on something they're not going to use.
Yeah, I'm one that I happen to be in favor of the standing desk if they're going to be used.
Right.
The well's got one, so if anybody wants, so does Leanne. So if anybody wants to come up and see what they think, I think Noel really likes her.
Lucy, you can use it a lot.
Well, I've talked to Lucy and Shelly.
I use it in the morning for at least an hour and a half, and then
right.
That's the rest of my day. It's okay. Longer. I find I think better. I can write better when I'm standing.
Lisa,
but Lisa thinks I'm crazy.
Do you think that would help me?
I mean, I'm
sure.
I don't think I can but Shell likes hers.
Yeah, she loves it.
Noelle uses hers all the time. Yeah. I would say.
Well, every afternoon she uses hers, right?
In the morning. I can't really talk to you in my office. I have to put it down to have a conversation.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Unless they want to stand in the car.
Yeah, it's too weird. But I would have them try it, you know, and make sure they want something. I mean, that's how we did it. It was a request from the employee.
Mm-hmm. They requested it. Tim especially, because he set those up, and he thought that might be nice to try. Scott as well. So I said, well, why don't we just get two, and then we can try them out and see how they work. Maybe if you had one, it's one thing installing it and seeing how other people use it, but if you actually had to use it yourself, you might change your mind. So.
Yeah, I have zero desire.
Well, and the biggest thing with those, I think we get hit for shipping. I want $75.
Yeah, it's not free shipping, even when you're on Prime. The sheriff's office just bought one. I think somebody out there requested one, and then they bought one. They did not buy one. They bought a kit to convert theirs to a scanning, and it was $109 for Amazon.
Isn't that four cinder blocks? Don't even charge you that. Just bring in four cinder blocks and you're good to go.
I have two things. First of all, I have a note that we're talking to Barbara about security cameras.
Okay.
So, I have a note about this. And then I want to have a conversation about light dish.
Okay.
The security cameras came up because Cal was talking about and it's just a little, nothing, not elaborate, not huge money, marginal picture probably, just captured, and so we're interested in what it would cost us to have some cameras without, I'm not talking bells and whistles, I'm not talking something that's monitored, I want one that just feeds in and is stored, and if there's ever a problem, we've got a place to go back to. And see what happened.
What Cal referred to is in Fort Dodge, somebody broke into the courthouse and set off all the fire extinguishers. Well, by the time you clean that mess up, you've got several thousand dollars involved. And I think he mentioned that you guys have a camera outside of your door or inside.
That's what he mentioned.
We did just a fisheye camera on the outside and then one by the server room so that if something did happen, we could go back. It's unmonitored, and we've got it set so that if the amount of data that's stored reaches a certain point, it just starts overwriting it.
Which is the way it should be.
So, and those are $495, about $500. And all you need is an IP address, and then Cal would have to, you know, wire it with a network cable. But
so maybe if we figure out how many of those, I don't know, if we need one down every corridor or something, and it's just for evidence.
That would make sense, yes.
And identify the guy that's setting off the fire extinguishers.
Exactly.
You've got somewhere to
go. Well, at $500, $500 a piece.
About.
let's dig into it, and if that's something we want to do, let's do it again this fiscal year.
Yeah.
And so it's not a budgetary issue for FY17.
Just this building, or?
I think at $500, I mean, so I want to know what the other, you said, okay, you have the network cable, right? And I want to know what the other cost is. But at $500 a piece, if there's a way that we have that, I mean, I think you do it, it'd be basically, in my mind, it would basically be definitely the elevators in this building and maybe each one of the exit doors.
Right.
And then the entrance of the human services building. I mean, I'm not talking about covering every square inch.
Correct.
But I could see 8 or 10 cameras pretty easily.
Where they most likely would access the building.
Yep.
Makes sense.
Where we don't even have to see the problem happen in the building. If we know a problem happened, we can see who came in and who went out.
Right.
And we'll be able to figure it out.
You know, I think, for me especially, because as remote as they are.
Yeah.
You know.
And they're all on the network now, so that's more easily done. I will get something together.
Thank you.
Thank you for getting rid of lines we don't need. I think all across the board communication services have leveled off, and we were able to lower our communication line items. I said 2 years ago at the general election, I think Lucy listened to me enough that she's ready to bury her head about it, but we cannot have the same situation this year as we did 2 years ago, in which we get a maximum of phone calls at some ridiculous time, like 8 o'clock in the morning. We need to figure out what the problem is, how we can fix that, how that cannot happen to us. Because I have election officials that are mad, I have election, we have people that are angry. And I don't blame them. whether it be the public or the election workers, if they can't get into us because we hit our maximum phone call, that's crap.
What did they do before we got this phone system? Because we only had one T1, which only allowed 23 calls at a time. Now, the current system that we have the mid-range, so we don't have the top of the range or the bottom. We have the mid, which allows 100 simultaneous phone calls. So what happened before? Were they, like, routed to an auto attendant? Were they just held on the line until somebody answered, or how did that work?
I've never heard of the issue before.
You know, we didn't have an issue. I mean,
they were old, and so
I'm just saying, in 2004, where at the time you put a phone down, it would ring, mm-hmm. and it was like that from 6 in the morning until 10 at night. My ear gets hot.
My ears are both popping.
But yeah, that was in 14. That was really strange. That's so weird. We're like, wow, we're having a great election, and the polls are ringing, and then later we heard that.
So there's a maximum per day?
Yeah, we maxed out.
We maxed out. That's what they told us when
there's
when
a cap at 100 calls at a time.
Right.
That our system can handle.
But what I'm hearing, unless I'm hearing wrong, is nobody's on the phone over here. The phones aren't ringing.
We maxed out. That's what we
were
saying.
That's when
you're
out of
time.
That's
when you're on the other end trying to call in, you get busy.
Right. And yeah, that speaks from experience. She's sitting out there being so slow.
Yeah, so, I mean, let me make sure I understand. So our old system used to be 23 at a time, but there was no mythical, magical number for the day. It was 23 at a time. If you were the 24th caller at one time, 20 other, 3 other are in, usually you get a busy signal or no signal or something like that.
Well, so some of it was our phones were the way they were set to roll.
Yeah.
We don't have in this current system because we get to see that.
But as far as you know, there's no limit on the total number of phone calls.
Per day, no.
Per day.
At one time, there is.
Right.
So the system should be able, I would think, to handle something else must have happened. And at that time, I can tell you from my experience, the support team was a little green. They were just being brought on and they probably gave us the answer they thought was the right one and probably wasn't. I will say that, well, I was just going to say, I'm not sure if we'll be with a new vendor by then. The SEC is, LightEdge has sold their phone business to INS. So I don't know if it will have been approved by then or not. If it has been, we don't know if the same support team will be supporting the system or if there will be a new one.
So
we just
think
this is what we expect to happen
on
these days.
So. Right, and then we need to test it.
Definitely,
yeah. We need to test it and make sure, because you don't need to deal, what is it, November 7th this year? November 8th. Hey. You don't need to deal with this on November 8th.
No.
That's like 2 years ago when it happened to us on November, whatever day it was, we went, okay, this can't happen 2 years from now. It needs to get fixed before that.
Yeah.
Because that was minor compared to what this election is going to be.
We have a note on our calendar to contact support a month before November, just to make sure that we know what to expect. Did some of those, okay, so some of the phone calls, were they done via those modems that you had too?
No.
So are the calls people wanting to know voting hours, or are they people calling in results?
No, it was everything. It was officials calling, it was just the public calling, where to go vote,
is
today the election? They all have the same number.
Oh,
they
yeah. Well, because the election workers are at the polls at 6. So from 6 to 7, we see them taking phone calls because they're calling because this isn't setting up right or you know, what's this or what's going on, how, you know, how, what do we have, blah, blah, blah. When's my time going to be? So you have the first hour of that. And then at 7, the phone calls start from the public and or the election workers calling and saying, I have this voter or the voter saying, where do I vote or whatever. So it was by 8 o'clock that we were told we were maxed out, and that's why our phones. And poor election workers, when they come in to deliver their stuff that night, are like, oh my gosh, what happened to the phone? We got busy thinking about it. Why weren't you guys answering the phone? We're like, it wasn't me.
Well, let's get 100 people that we know with cell phones.
Well, first thing is let's figure out, if we figure out why that happened, that and the other cell phones. And then we need to test it.
If you had still had your hunt group at that time, didn't
you? No, we did not, because since we went on that system, I got rid of hunt groups completely.
But you originally did have a hunt group, and you had auto attendant, and they've both been taken off.
No, they were not on for election day.
Well, that's what I'm asking. I know they were configured, so they were not being used at that time?
No, they were both removed. I did not use hunt groups. I did not use auto attendant. Nothing. I removed it all. The only thing I have is so that if somebody's phone rings and they're online or nobody answers it, it goes to somebody else because I don't want to go to the big, we don't want to go to the voicemail. We want somebody answering the phone.
Absolutely.
And this system does not accommodate that very well, so we have to play with it to make sure.
Well, and that was just hard to explain the line edge thing.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Well, it comes from
ring group.
Like, if I'm on my phone, another one comes into my phone, but it wouldn't. Does yours roll on somebody else's then?
Yeah, if I'm on my phone, I have mine directed. I went into our group, and I made it direct to somebody else if I'm on my phone. Same with everybody outside. Everybody goes to someone else's so that somebody answers the phone. But I got rid of all the numbers because everyone was going to cost us some outrageously stupid amount of money. I got rid of all of the roles because that was going to cost us some outrageously stupid amount of money.
We got rid of the auto attendant and you couldn't change the hours that it was on.
Right. So I gave her a 7:30 and I'm like, sweet, there's no phone call.
Yeah.
Well,
they wouldn't let us just sort of switch when that could be on and off, like at that time and that was it.
Because we thought auto attendant would work great, because we could say, you know, you reach out to yourself if you want information for elections, so that's too short. Yeah, you know.
Explain the
new. Bottom line, auto attendant, well, you can't adjust it at all. It only works for a quarter.
What part of the hunt
group? Hunt group?
What? Yeah.
Hunt group, the way the hunt group used to work in the old system was you could say, okay, I want it to ring here twice or three times, and then here twice or three times, and then here twice or three times, and start equaling, basically, is what it did. So that somebody answers the phone. Because if I'm not at my desk, somebody's going to take my phone call. Okay? Right.
But everybody had a different hunt group.
But everybody had a different hunt group so that everything moved around and rolled. In order to do that and to do it properly, it's not feasible from what we can tell on the system.
So what was the end result? I mean, what did it do as far as the client calling in or the poll worker?
And so
how long did it take to get the communication to them that was needed?
We didn't even know
until they
didn't know.
And so, okay. And, well, I'm asking this question.
Well, quite frankly, what happened was I think that when we would call or whatever, they finally started calling us on cell phones.
Right.
And I know Lucy's cell phone got called, and I know Kevin's cell phone got called, because at least they get through to us, and they have our cell phone number. Some of them have our
cell phone. Here's the reason for me asking the question. Because I sit on the seat committee, and when I attended their training session this past year, there was a session that talked about the problems and issues that auditors, election officials face at a given time, and trying to identify, or if some counties have experienced these types of things, that's another type of problematic situation that if it occurred, how do you troubleshoot it? What's the solution?
That's why we can't fix it.
No, we're trying to actually get the election officials out of this whole calling thing and use something like Skype.
Right.
We don't have those calls coming in and checking our phones, and then it's just a problem.
Right. And so that's
we're working at it from several angles.
Okay. So that's probably what I'm looking for is as you identify the problem, is there a potential solution in the event that it ever happens again, and this needs a setback, because the likelihood it could happen. So what do you have in place if you encounter this assuming we can direct it through whatever training and system that we've got in place. And that was my reason for asking that, because to me, and you guys have never quite, you know, been there, that was one of the most educational experiences for me, to sit and understand what these people have to go through to run an election. And you get a major presidential election like this where the volume is 100 times bigger. It's just astronomical, you know. And I mean, I got this big folder back there, this training manual and all this stuff. And we went and we were going through that, and I said, holy shit.
This is going into the tape. would it be possible to set up a meeting before the primary? You guys have the primary. I mean, you won't get as many phone calls.
No. Primary is dress rehearsal, and that's probably one of our lowest turnout elections of any type.
What I suspect probably happened, and I'm not for sure, because there is a 100 call at a time cap, but I think probably what happened in this instance, which is just a default setting to help, it's a safeguard within the system to guard against spamming. I think it may have hit a threshold, and then it thought, okay, this department's getting spammed, so it shut it down. That's what I suspect happened.
Yeah, we should see them turn that.
Well, and I can explore that a little more, maybe suggest that they look at that, because sometimes you have to suggest things. But I've been real impressed with the team they have supporting the system recently. So it's something we can revisit, but we definitely don't want that to happen again.
Yeah, I'm really hard to recreate that. I would love to recreate all sorts of things.
But we can't.
It's kind of even after the computer that you can send on her phone.
Lucy, I like your idea of using technology as a way for our poll workers to be able to contact you on.
So I don't know what I reply to, but I'll take credit
already. No, you're the top dog, so you get credit.
We have the technology at the point, but we should use it.
It also helps us if we can see
what they're looking at on their screen, right. So that should be helpful.
And as I was saying, there's a really nice technology called GoToMeeting out there that might maybe be applicable on something like
that. But they are, they can just IM us or something like that too, and not have to talk to us. So we're looking at that.
Okay. Anything else? We're done.